Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. If it's Monday, it's time for Historically St. Pete. I am News Director Nanette Weiser, and with me is the host of Historically St. Pete, the very one and only Rui Farias. Hello there.
Hi, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. So tell us everything about Historically St. Pete, and I understand you have a interesting history of something downtown.
We do. Well, you know, the Museum of History has been sharing our city's history for 103 years down on the waterfront. So this is a great opportunity for us on Radio St. Pete to share it with people all over the area. All kinds of cool stories. And today we're going to talk about a building that's been in the news a lot. If you've gone downtown, if you've gone to any of the events on the waterfront or Stroud Park, you've probably passed by it a million times. It sits on Fourth Avenue North between 1st and 2nd Street. And it's known as the Flor de Leon Apartments. And it's part of our city's, like, cool legends, right? Where we have these legends where sometimes we make these things up and they're said enough times and they become true. But that building is nearly 100 years old, standing there on 4th Avenue.
I just love the building. It's pink. I mean, you know, there's a thing about pink in this town, salmon and pink. You've got the Don Cesar at one point, the Vinoy was sort of pink. Tell us a little bit about the people that lived there and when it was built. I see it was built in June 1926. Is that right?
It was.
No,
and
before
They started, yeah, that is correct. It began in 26. The construction began in 26. And it, so 4th Avenue North back in the day was kind of like our Millionaire's Row. If you drove east on 4th Avenue from 4th Street, where it dead ends into Straub Park, it was nothing but mansions, huge, beautiful mansions. A few of them are still there. A couple of them were saved. They were, when developers decided to build some larger structures, they saved actually two of the homes. And then, of course, a number of them were demolished. But this was kind of like our main avenue leading into our beautiful waterfront. So back in 1926, a company decided it wanted to build, which was going to be the tallest or the biggest set of apartments or co-op apartments at that time. So they started construction in 1926. The project itself was going to cost about $700,000. And we did some research and found some of the cool old advertising from it. And one of the ads, you know, claimed that people from all over the United States who are well-traveled and lived well have found their home in the Flor de Leon. And they actually listed the names of the people who were buying some of the apartments there, or condos, right, as we would call them today. But the newspaper advertising, you know, this is advertising, so it boasted that the building was fireproof, soundproof. It had three electric elevators, right, consistent hot water, which is a thing back then. Of course, its own heating plant, which you really need here in Florida, but it claimed that it had it. And again, they start construction in 1926, and this is kind of at this is when the huge boom in St. Petersburg started to cool a little bit. From the end of World War I to 1926, one of the hottest real estate markets in the country we had here in St. Petersburg. And you know, everybody was building everything like crazy. But by the end of 1926, that really started to slow down. And I think this is how they got in trouble, because they actually started building the building before they sold all the units. So by mid-1926, the developers hadn't sold enough of these units to pay for the remainder of the project. So construction stopped. So here you are, right? You've just invested in buying an apartment in this, you know, but it's going to be this beautiful building just blocks away from our waterfront. And now the company basically told you that it's done, it's gone, it's ceased operations, and the building's half built. So what did the owners do? Hey, this is St. Pete, right? We just figure out how to get things done. The owners ended up forming their own corporation. They created Flor de Leon Apartments, Inc. They refinanced the deal, and they began selling condos. They became their own developers and began selling condos at cost to get the building completed.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a weird story that circulates about the famous people who lived there, and a couple of them were little baseball legends who didn't like each other. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So for years, I mean, growing up in this town, you hear, a million of these stories. And for years, because if you look at the building, if you stand on Fourth Avenue and look at this building, it's a beautiful building. And it's kind of like shaped like a U, right? There's a courtyard in the middle with two wings in the back. And the two structures that sit on Fourth Avenue don't look alike. The two wings have completely different, they're all Mediterranean Revival architectural, but they look completely different. So back in the day, right, the rumor was that when these things were being built, again, this is 1926, the Yankees had arrived in 1925, so Babe Ruth was here already, and then the following year, Lou Gehrig followed him or joined the team and was here for spring training. So for a million years, the rumors were that these two guys were, they convinced them to buy the apartments, the two penthouses. But the rumor was that they didn't like each other. So the only way they would do it is if the apartments looked completely different. And that's why the buildings don't look alike. Well, don't know if that's necessarily true because we can't find any proof that they actually owned the apartments. Now, did they live there? Yes. And in the St. Pete directories during the years of 28, 29, 30, 31, it shows that the two penthouses were vacant. That if they had a legal owner, it would have been listed in the city directory, which means to me that the co-op actually owned, they built it, so they own the condos and they lease them to Ruth and Gary. But listen, this is part of the old, Babe Ruth, lived in every old house in St. Petersburg story, right?
In front of every old person or young person in St. Pete, right? But they actually did like each other and they hung out together. It really wasn't until the end of Babe Ruth's career, right? In the mid-30s,
Yeah, they
with
did.
the Spencer Showers.
They did. In the very beginning, they were when Gehrig joined the Yankees, they were pals. I mean, I think Babe Ruth probably saw him as a, younger brother or a son or something, right? And so took him under his, arm and, his wing and showed him, the waves. But they were exact opposites. I mean, Gehrig was very quiet, shy, very family oriented. Not that, Ruth wasn't family, but Babe Ruth was larger than life, right? And he loved that. He loved the, the publicity and the craziness of baseball. He loved, standing in the middle of these massive 1920s hotels in St. Petersburg pouring champagne for people as they walked in, right? Where Gehrig would be home in bed by like 9 o'clock every night. So they were the exact opposites. But they were friends for a while. It wasn't until probably the early 1930s where there was a falling out. And then they, their friendship kind of soured. Although at the end, I know that Ruth was with Gary at the end when, Gary got ill, before he passed away.
So is Mediterranean Revival architecture new to the city at this time, or was it something, I mean, I see a lot of it through the Northeast and other places. Is that just kind of a signature of how they designed things back then?
Mediterranean Revival was popular in the early 20s, but holy cow, we embraced it, and that's saying mildly. A lot of these developers, like Perry Snell, for instance, or even Walter Fuller on the west side of St. Petersburg, they are like the kings of Mediterranean Revival, and that's why when you go through Old Northeast, which is originally called the North Shore Addition, and Snell Island, Granada Terrace, and places like that, and then along Park Street. In that area, you see a lot of this architectural still there from these big, massive homes built in the 1920s. Because again, they pushed it to the limits. So we became, famous for it. The Vinoy, St. Pete High, and Fifth Avenue. All these huge buildings were being built in that style in St. Petersburg. So it was incredibly popular. But it was kind of like our signature.
Right.
We are this beautiful city on the water, and that's what the developers wanted to market, to show that we were very European, very Mediterranean looking. So that was their plan.
So this was placed on the historic registry of the city in 1994, is that right?
Correct. And it's had some, like I said, when I said earlier, it was been in the news a little bit, because there's been a lot of construction around the building. Like at one time, there was plans to build some massive tower just east of the building on a tiny little lot. So I know that the Fort de Lyon and probably 99% of the residents who lived in the old Northeast in that area came to its rescue because it probably would have done some major damage to the building. And so it's seen, man, it's, if walls could talk, right? And what it's seen up and down that road in the city. I mean, it's still today, I mean, remains the symbol of, elegance and old sort of charm, but you don't see buildings like that anymore.
So I just, looking at the Facebook and other things about it, I think it was the Julia that was going to get built next to it. Work started and then stopped on it, but now they've just reopened the parking and the sidewalk out front. So what will happen with that building?
Well, I don't know. I know that it went through four or five different planning stages where, it kept getting cut down in size, because they would, do they would redesign what they were going to build, and they would take it back to the city, and the city would still tell them no. So I mean, I don't know where they are right now. I mean, if you look at like a photograph of that building, I mean, the Fort de Lyon that I'm talking about, I mean, it's a seven-story building, so it's not a small building, right? But if you look at this beautiful seven-story building, I mean, it would just be dwarfed, and it would look awful next to, a major tower there. That's just not the place for a tower like that.
Rui, that's just fascinating to hear this, and we're going to hear about some more buildings and things with Rui on another broadcast. Rui, you've got some things going on next week. You've got a ghostly haunted trolley tour on the 9th. Tell us about that.
We do. So we do a whole series of trolley tours. So we have a haunted trolley tour on the 9th. We have a civil rights trolley tour. We have a trolley tour of West St. Pete, and of course our downtown waterfront history tours on the Tampa Bay Watch boat. We do the only historic water tours. We do have some major events coming up. We
Let's
have
talk about
Happy
that.
Hour with a Historian coming up to learn all about transportation. We're going to talk about the history of the PSTA, basically from streetcars to the Sunrunner. So we'll learn a lot about mass transportation here in this area. And then, of course, next month in May, we have History in a Bottle, where we'll do
Yeah.
a gin tasting accompanied with food tastings that match the specific gins. So we're excited about that.
Well, we're not going to give away the tour that's coming up, excuse me, the happy hour with the historian, because Rui is going to be sharing some of that with us on a future April, historically St. Pete. Rui, what are you most excited about as far as historic preservation and what's going on at the museum? You have a new exhibit at the museum that you just debuted. Tell us what's going on over there.
We do. We just opened Beautiful Beginnings, which is the story of the beginning of St. Petersburg as the City of the Arts. It's an exhibit that details the city's art schools and the artists that created those schools, and of course, shows a lot of their work. We are working on an exhibit now that's hopefully going to be open sometime in the next 2 or 3 months. That's called Wish You Were Here. It's an exhibit that's going to be a complete cool stroll through the history of tourism in St. Petersburg. So we're going to have everything from roadside attractions to all kinds of cool stuff from the early days of advertising and tourism to bring people to St. Petersburg.
That is great. That's absolutely great. And this is, speaking of art, it's so appropriate that you have something on the history of art because this weekend is Main Sale, which in and of itself is a legend, correct?
It is. For years it's happened here. I remember when it was back in Straub Park before they moved it to Fenway Park. So it's probably one of the best art festivals, that I've ever seen. It's, to have that kind of longevity, it's an amazing event.
Well, really, we're so happy that we could talk to you for Historically St. Pete. Please tell people how they can find out more about the museum and with the website, please.
Sure. So just you can stop by the museum. We're on the entrance at the pier right there on the St. Pete Pier, or you can go to historystpete.org to find out all of our events and activities and what exhibits we have going on in the museum right now.
And as Randy Wayne White, the famous author, says, the St. Petersburg Museum of History, what a pearl that place is. What a gem. Rui, thank you so much for being with us today on Radio St. Pete.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.